This is Audible.
Harper Audio presents Anatomy of a Misfit by Andrea Portis, performed by Caitlin Davies. One. Pedaling fast, fast, fast. This is the moment. One of those movie moments you never think is going to happen to you, but then it happens to you. And now it's here. Pedaling fast, fast, fast. This is my only chance to stop it. This is the place where it looks like everything is gonna go horribly wrong, and there's no hope. But then because it's a movie, there is hope after all, and there is a surprise that changes everything, and everyone breathes a sigh of relief, and everybody gets to go home and feel good about themselves, and maybe fall asleep in the car. Pedaling fast, fast, fast. This is the moment. This is the moment I get to remember for the rest of my nights, and my days, and my looking at the ceiling. Over that hill, and down the next. Through those trees, and past the school. Pedaling fast, fast, fast. This is the moment. By the time I get there, you can see the lights going blue, red, white, blue, red, white, blue, red, white. Little circles diced up in sirens, and you think you can stop it, but of course you can't. How could you ever think you could? Pedaling fast, fast, fast. This is the moment. This is the moment. And it's too late. Two. You're never gonna believe what happened. Okay, let's just start from the beginning. Logan McDonough's dad bought him a moped. That was the first thing. Let's say Logan had showed up first thing, first day of school, 10th grade, at Pound High School, Lincoln, Nebraska, having never ever set foot here before, on his black moped, in his black mod outfit, with his black mod haircut. He would have been a hit. Even Becky Vilhauer, a.k.a. number one most popular girl in the school, a.k.a. Darth Vader, would have swooned. But he had been here before, in 9th grade, when he was a nerd. So you can see how his actions were totally illegal. You can't just decide somewhere between May and August that you're going to change your whole identity, jump from geek to cool kid, get a jet black haircut, peg your jet black jeans, lose 20 pounds, and drive a Vespa. No way. That is totally against the rules, and everybody knows it. The audacity. Becky Vilhauer was not having it. I know, because she was right there next to me when he pulled up to school, and you should have seen her jaw drop. She was pissed. If you're wondering what I was doing standing right there next to Becky, a.k.a. the dark side of the Force, it's because I am number 3 in the pecking order around here. I have no hope for rising above my station, and I will explain why later. But number 3 is where I will always be, and, as I am constantly reminded, I am lucky to be here. Between number 1 and number 3 is Shelley Schroeder. Number 2. She's my best friend, even though she's kind of a slut. She told me something I immediately wanted to unhear, and now I'm gonna tell you, and you too will immediately want to unhear it. She makes out and even does the old in-and-out with the high school rockers. Like, a lot. One time she told me Rusty Beck told her she has the biggest pussy he's ever fucked. Yep, try to unhear that. No siree, you cannot. By the way, she told me this like it was a compliment. I didn't have the heart to tell her. I'm pretty sure that wasn't going to get her a date to the prom. I like Shelley, but it's kind of weird how she draws on her eyeliner. She kind of just circles both her eyes, so you just get these two black almonds staring at you all the time, imploringly. There's definitely something about Shelley's look that makes you feel like you're always supposed to help her out in some way. I guess that's why those rocker guys are always helping her out of her clothes. Okay, so the reason why I'm number 3 and can never even hope to dream of being number 2 or number 1 is because my dad is Romanian, and looks like Count Chocula. Seriously, he looks like a vampire. Never mind that we never see him, and that he lives half the time in Princeton and half the time in Romania. That doesn't matter. All that matters is that he left me with a weird last name, Dragomir, and to seal the deal, an even weirder first name, Annika. Annika Dragomir. So, you see, there is no hope. You try going to a school of Jennies and Sherrys and Julies with a name like Annika Dragomir. Go ahead. I dare you. But right now, that's not the story. Right now, no one can believe how Logan drives up to the front school steps like a total baller. And even better, he doesn't even acknowledge Becky Vilhauer when she scoffs at him on his new moped. So what? Now he's a nerd on wheels. And this is what's so weird about the whole thing. Even Shelley notices, which she tells me later on our endless, seriously, endless, like we should be put in child protective services endless, walk home from school. Logan doesn't notice what Becky says, because he's not even looking at Becky. And he's not looking at Shelley either. No, no. Logan McDonough, nerdball, turned goth romance hero, is looking directly and only at me. 3. By the time I get home, my stupid sisters are already locked in their room, listening to the Stones and talking on the phone to more boys who don't like them. My brothers are in the back, probably setting fire to themselves or killing something. In case you're wondering about the pecking order around here, it goes like this. My oldest sister, Lizzie, the leader of the pack, is the one who looks, dresses, and acts like Joan Jett, and teases me endlessly for having boobs because she is flat as a board, so fuck her. The second oldest is Neener. She kinda looks like Bambi, and as far as I can tell, her only distinguishing quality is she likes strawberries. Next up is Robbie. He's the happy-go-lucky one everybody likes, and never has any problems and looks all bright-eyed and cute, like the Gerber baby. Then there's my other brother, Henry, who looks like Peter Brady and has been brooding ever since he was 3. And then, last but not least, there's me. I'm the youngest, and the one that everyone has decided is mentally deranged. They're wrong, of course, but I don't mind letting them think that, because everyone lives in constant fear I'm going to kill myself. And that's all right with me. I bet you think I have dark hair and dark eyes and look like I listen to The Cure. But you're wrong. On the outside, I look like vanilla pudding, so nobody knows that on the inside, I am spider soup. Unless they look closer. For instance, yes, there is blonde hair, blue eyes, pale skin. That is true. But you see, everybody around here has a button nose, and I have more of a nose that looks like it got lopped off by a meat cleaver. There's another thing, too. I have a boy jaw, like a square jaw, and cheekbones you could cut yourself on. Also, there are dark purple circles around my eyes that might be adorable if I was a raccoon. So, you see, I'm hideous. Also, there is the fact that Becky constantly calls me immigrant. That doesn't exactly help. And yet, if you don't look close enough, you would never know I'm not made of apple pie. You have to truly inspect me to see that I am obviously from a place where Vlad the Impaler is everybody's great-great-grandfather, and you have to survive on one turnip a week, which you have to split with your brothers and 3 cousins who live in the attic. But this is not a complete liability. In fact, it's probably why, 2 years back, I won that fight at the roller skating rink. Here's what happened. Russ Cluck, from the wrong side of the tracks, liked me and kept trying to get me to couple skate with him. Even though everyone knows he lives in a trailer, everyone thought I should be flattered, but I don't really know how to talk to boys, so I just sprayed ketchup all over him. He thought that was cute, and liked me even more, but that just made this other wrong side of the tracks girl jealous. She liked Russ and couldn't believe I sprayed him with ketchup. I bet she thought she was getting into a fight with a vanilla wafer on roller skates, But little did she know, she was getting in a fight with a spider sandwich. Look, I'm going to explain my insect insides, but you have to promise not to feel sorry for me, okay? This is not a sob story. These are just the facts. Plain and simple. My dad, Count Chocula, basically kidnapped us and brought us with him to a castle in Romania when I was three. Maybe it was more like a chateau. Whatever. To a three-year-old, it felt like a castle. It was me, my real sister Lizzie, and my real brother Henry, practically all alone in that castle, with Count Chocula gone half the time. But that was okay, because when he actually was there, it was kind of like having a walking wraith eating your Cheerios with you. I'm serious. This guy could basically freeze the air just by strolling in the room. It's not like we ever did anything wrong, either. Are you kidding? We were too scared. It was obvious if we even spilled a drop of milk on the stone castle floor, we would be encased in glass and sent into the Phantom Zone, never to return. Luckily, there was a nice nanny for a while, but he got her pregnant, and she left. My mom didn't have any way to get us back, so it took me standing up to my dad when I was 10 to finally get back home to her and her new husband. So, to recap, I was raised from 3 to 10 by a wraith-like vampire in a freezing stone castle in Romania. Don't feel sorry for me. That's not what this is about. This is about spider stew. Wrong side of the tracks girl didn't know what she was going up against at the roller skating rink, and I don't blame her. The legend goes that I pulled her hair out, dropped her to the ground, and kicked her repeatedly with my roller skate. But that's not what happened. It was more of a weird roller skating dance, each of us pulling on each other and moving in a slow, deformed circle that was ended by the manager. In all honesty, it was a draw. I guess that girl had a pretty tough rep, though, because nobody ever messed with me after that. My sisters and brothers don't mess with me either, but that's because not only do they think I'm annoying and hate bringing me anywhere, but they are also worried I'm going to throw myself off the nearest bridge on their watch, in which case, they will be grounded for life. Robbie and Niner, my stepbrother and stepsister, are 100% purebred all-American. Their mom lives in a trailer next to a lake, and there's even a horse. Also, a duck. Or so I'm told. They have no idea how lucky they are. I would give anything to have a dad who lived in a trailer instead of a castle. And maybe that sounds completely backward, but you try growing up half vampire in Nebraska. Henry, my real brother, doesn't care about being a half-breed, because he knows once he graduates from Harvard and starts making $1 billion, no one will care, and he can just buy all his friends at the friend store. And Lizzie? Well, Lizzie has decided to just go straight past half-breed and full speed ahead into super freak. She is dark. She is gamine. She is mean. She is Joan Jett. She will kill you. And you will know her by the trail of dead. So, really, I'm the only one around here wrestling with an immigrant complex. I bet you think I go to school with all these freaks, but I don't, thank God. We live in this weird strip of suburb where you can choose either East High or Pound High. My sisters and brothers chose East High, so I chose Pound. I did this as a purely self-protective measure. My sisters, especially Lizzie, would have pursued, tortured, and harassed me endlessly if I set foot or even thought about setting foot near them. No, sir. High school would have become my own personal Spanish Inquisition, crossed with Salem witch trials, crossed with every movie you've ever seen with a Marine sergeant torturing his underlings at boot camp. No thanks, folks. No way. I cannot give Lizzie that pleasure. Now, this brings us to my mom, who is essentially the only decent one in the house. But if you think post-Chocula she went out and found the perfect husband, you can guess again. The guy she got is 6'3", 300 pounds, and stands in front of us at the buffet line my mom sets out at dinner, eating all the food. If we are lucky, we will get something good, but you better grab it while you still have a chance. He never talks to us, excepting grunts, and then goes straight to his room after dinner to lie in his waterbed and watch Wheel of Fortune. So, basically, my real dad is a vampire, and my stepdad is an ogre. If my mom gets married a third time, it will clearly be to either a werewolf or a mummy. I'm sure she married this guy so her kids would have a home and all, but man, oh man, I wish she could have found someone that made her happy. I have an escape plan for Mom and me, where we can leave all these jerk faces in the dust, but I am only on stage 2 of that plan currently. I'm looking at her in the kitchen and realizing that if you made a trajectory from Brigitte Bardot to Mrs. Santa Claus, my mom is 1/3 of the way from Brigitte Bardot over. She's a total dumpling about everything, and certainly deserves better than this crap hole. Honey, did anything exciting happen at your first day of school today? Not really. Logan McDonough got a moped. She's making Mexican casserole, which is heavy on the rotation and usually lands on a Monday night, unless there's gonna be Taco Tuesday. Oh, I bet that was a real hit. Not really. Becky told him he was a nerd on wheels. Well, that wasn't very nice of her. Whatever. She's kind of a bitch. Honey, you know I don't like words like that. I know. She's just not very nice is all. Well, did you say something nice to him? I bet that would have made his day. What? No. Becky would kill me. Now Mom stops putting the chips in the casserole and looks up. Real emphasis. You know what, honey? Just because Becky does something doesn't mean you have to do it. Yeah, right. She's like the number 1 most popular girl, Mom. Well, why is that? I don't know. She was like a model or something. A model? Yeah. A model for what, might I ask, seeing as we live in this bastion of the fashion industry here in Lincoln, Nebraska? I don't know. I think, like, the JCPenney catalog? Oh, well, that explains it. Mom, you just don't understand, okay? Honey, all I'm saying is that you can stand up to her. You mean like you did with Dad? But she doesn't take the bait. She just ignores me and puts the casserole in the oven instead. Doesn't matter, my brothers run in from the back and start tearing through the cupboards like the 4 horsemen of the apocalypse are riding up from Kansas. Boys, now listen. It's only 1 hour to dinner. I don't want you to ruin your appetites. Back in my room, I get to flop down with no one around. One of the perks of being the youngest nobody likes, I get my own room. I had to share with Lizzie for a while, but I just kept calling her a slut all night till she begged Mom to move her. Sounds mean, but the thing is, all she ever does is talk to boys all night on the phone and make it impossible to study. She blushes and giggles and then half the time sneaks out, but I don't tell anyone, because then I can use it to blackmail her. Now she's down with Nina, and I get my whole room to decorate and think about how Logan lost 20 pounds and actually didn't look half bad. 4. My boss doesn't know I've been poisoning him. Don't be jealous, but Shelley and I got a job at the Bunza Hut. We get to wear lemon-colored fake polos, Kelly green shorts, and banana LA gear sneakers. We get to wear this every shift. You have to stand back by the Sunday machines, otherwise you'll be on camera the whole time, and it's an invasion of privacy or whatever. Bubba thinks you're hard to get, Shelley says. I snort. I'm hard to get if your name's Bubba. They're having a party Friday. We should go. They're just gonna try to stick their wieners in us. You're such a prude. Well, they are. Some girls actually like that kind of stuff. Like some girls named Shelley? Mr. Baum, who has absolutely no idea how high he is, pokes his head from the back.
Am I paying you girls to drink milkshakes?
You should have seen this guy before I started crunching up my mom's Valium and dosing his endless cup of Folgers. He was a total dick, especially to Shelley. It was like that helpless, needy look in her almond-shaped eyes sparked something in him where he smelled blood. He tormented her. If she was sweeping, he'd say to mop. If she was mopping, he'd say to sweep. If she smiled at the customers, he'd say she was being too friendly. If she didn't smile, he'd say she wasn't being friendly enough. Black should have been white, white should have been black, and no matter what, she was an idiot. The guy's a sociopath. One day he made Shelley cry because he said her shorts needed to be pressed and she needed to lose 10 pounds. That was the day I realized something had to be done. So now I dose him. First thing after clocking in. The trick is misdirection. You can't just crunch up Mom's Valium and put it in his mug. Are you crazy? He'd notice that in a second. You have to make small talk with the customer while doing the crunching. Of course, there is the issue of dosage. Here's what happened the first time. About 5 weeks ago, the first Sunday of preseason football, Mr. Baum was hungover and it was practically an emergency because he was being a total jerk face. He was nursing his headache in the back, and I was up front chit-chatting with a very nice family from Platt. Oh, those Huskers are looking good! Crunch, crunch. Looks like this is gonna be our year! Crunch, crunch, crunch. Those Sooners don't stand a chance.
Damn straight. Go Big Red.
Pour the coffee in the mug. Dose, dose, dose. Stir, stir, stir. And then the Happy Platt family makes their way to the table. Mr. Baum gets his Folgers. And everything is perfect. Except 15 minutes later, we hear a thud. Shelley looks at me with her almond eyes. There's no face anymore, just eyes. I look at her, and we both know the situation is dire.
You go look.
No, you.
I can't go. You know how much he hates me. He'll kill me if he's not already dead.
Shelley does have a point. Okay, what if we both go?
Like together?
Yeah, like together. And now Shelley is holding my arm. Shelley, now's not the time to make a pass at me.
Shut up!
I know, I'm super hot, but we have an emergency situation here. I can't help it. It's too fun to tease Shelley. Also, she's a Christian. So if Mr. Baum is dead, that means eternal damnation in the claws of Beelzebub, whereas I will just be grounded. By the time we make it into the back office, there's nothing visible of Mr. Baum but his feet. He's wearing tassel shoes, which should be enough excuse for the poisoning. But the lack of movement here is certainly a cause for concern.
Is he?
If he is, Shelley, I really think you should keep your hands to yourself. It's important to respect the dead. Also, he might reawaken as a zombie.
Shut up, Annika! God!
I also don't think you should take the Lord's name in vain in front of a zombie.
Jesus!
That's the Son of the Lord, Shelley. You just murdered someone, and now you've taken the Son of the Lord's name in vain.
Annika, stop. Seriously.
Look, there's no way he's dead.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Smell him. He smells like a vodka plant.
What, like a plant made of vodka?
No, like a place where they make vodka. You know, like a rubber plant?
Shelley, focus. I need you to check and see if he's dead.
I'm not checking. You check.
I can't. If I get closer, he might bite me. We both know I'm Romanian, and if I'm bit by the undead, I will immediately become a vampire. Then, there's no chance for you.
Well, I'm not getting
No chance, Shelley. My ancient blood will overpower you. You'll probably just evaporate.
I can't do it, Annika.
She's practically crying. Mr. Baum's tassel shoes remain unmoved. Really, the only solution is that we both look at the same time.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah, okay.
Shelley grabs my arm and we go in closer, like two kittens investigating a fallen rhino. We are almost to his comb-over when he snores so loud it throws us back into the other room. Jesus, that guy can snore.
What do we do? What do we do?
Well, I don't know, Shelley. There's kind of two ways to look at it. Either we tear ourselves apart with guilt that we are obviously horrible people, or we accept that Mr. Baum is out for the day, make some Sundays, and prank phone call that hot new debate teacher.
Seriously? Shouldn't we call someone?
Yeah, we should call that hot new debate teacher and ask him if he's heard that song by the Police about the young teacher, the subject of schoolgirl fantasy.
You're crazy.
Crazy for that debate teacher. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is what happens when you are not paying attention to your Valium dose. Since then, I have perfected my technique, and we have had no further incidents. But as you can see, every cloud has a silver lining, and in this case, the silver lining is... Ever since the Valium dosing has begun, Mr. Baum's behavior has much improved. Like today, he's totally leaving us alone, probably sitting at his desk waving his fingers in front of his face and marveling over the psychedelic trails. But that's not important right now. What's important is that in my leisure time, I have concocted a plan that I think might seriously upgrade our Halloween, homecoming, and holiday season. I think I figured out how to steal from this place. Shelley stops wiping the counters. Her eyes go wide. She really does look like a deer in the headlights.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Okay, so like, the camera's on the cash register, right?
Uh-huh.
So we have to undercharge on the register, but get the actual price from the customer, right?
I think so.
Then just put all the money in the cash register so the camera doesn't see anything, right?
Yeah?
But just keep a running tally on the side of the difference.
I don't get it.
Okay, like, say the Bunsen meal is $4.
Yeah?
So we charge the customer $4, but we only ring up $3 on the cash register.
Okay.
But when you do that, like, right when you do it, write down the difference.
Okay.
So you write down $1, right?
I think so.
And then we just keep a running tally of the difference all day.
Okay, then what?
Okay, so there's cameras everywhere, right?
Yeah.
So when we make the drop at the end of the night, we gotta do it where there's no cameras, yeah?
Yeah.
So where are there no cameras?
I don't know.
Think.
I don't know. You're stressing me out. Shelley, I'm just trying to improve our lifestyle. Okay, well, just tell me, or it's mean. It's like you're showing off or something.
Okay, the answer is there's no camera on the stairs.
What stairs?
The stairs down to the drop.
Oh.
Think about it. It's perfect. All you do is take out the difference, which you know from the running tally, put it in your pocket, and put the rest down in the safe.
Perfect, right?
I'm not doing it. Okay, you don't have to. Just cover for me, okay?
What do you mean, cover?
I mean, like, just, you know, distract Mr. Baum or something.
How do I distract him?
I don't know. Show him your boob?
Gross.
I know. He is gross.
And a dick.
Exactly, Shelley. I put my hand on her shoulder. That's why we're stealing from him. Because he is a dick. Can you believe that in the middle of all my devious masterminding, the door swings open, and Logan McDonough appears. Shelley nods over, and there he is, right at the register, leaning in. I'll have a Coke and fries.
You don't want a Bunzer or anything? I ask.
We have to say that. It's not like I care.
Nope.
Okay, that'll be $2.17. He doesn't even say anything. He just kind of puts the bills and change on the counter.
Oh, exact change. Thanks.
He's not even looking at me. It's like he's turned inside out or something. Can I speak to the manager?
What?
I'd like to speak to the manager, please.
Oh, God. Do you think he heard me?
I wonder. Do you think he heard my diabolical plan to steal from the Bunza Hut and is going to rat me out?
Okay, sure.
Shelley is not a person anymore. She is just two giant eyes standing by the soda machine, watching.
Mr. Baum? There's someone here to see you?
Mr. Baum comes out, taking off his Bunza hat and standing there like a rump roast. Thank God this isn't the day we nearly poisoned him to death. At least today he has the ability to stand. Also walk. Logan speaks up. All of a sudden, he's like a guy from Sesame Street. Hello, sir. I'd just like to tell you, you have a real top-shelf worker with middle management potential here.
What is he talking about?
Mr. Baum nods, totally confused. Never has a French fry been served up with such love, such kindness, and I really think you should be proud to have this young lady as a part of the Bunza family. I give her 5 out of 5 stars for customer service and general friendliness. Now Logan takes his fries and drink and waltzes out, leaving the front counter of the Lincoln Southeast Bunza in silence. Mr. Baum turns to Shelley and me.
Friend of yours?
Shelley and I shake our heads emphatically. No, 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 no. Although, I'm not sure why.
Oh, well, good job then. Nice work.
He goes back to mixing bunza meat. Shelley and I stand there for 2 seconds staring at each other, in silence, before we burst out laughing.
What the? I know.
Shelley can't believe it either.
Seriously? I know.
Now we can barely control ourselves. We should no longer be wearing the bunza uniform. We are no longer representing the store in a responsible manner.
Somebody likes you,
Shelley says in a sing-song.
Shut up. And you know what?
Don't even.
I think you like him back.
No, I don't.
Yes, you totally do.
No, I swear to God, I don't.
Really? Does that mean you don't give him 5 out of 5 stars?
Of course, I have to throw my towel at Shelley. God, it is such a relief when Becky's not around. Shelley and I are free when she's off doing whatever she's doing. Probably looking at herself in the mirror. But that doesn't matter right now. All that matters is what Logan McDonough just did was kind of rad. And weird. And maybe he might just kinda sorta be a lot more interesting than I, or anyone, thought. 5. If you turned a Labrador into a person, you would make Brad Klein. He's happy and gushy and about as interesting and complex as a tree stump. But he's the most popular guy in the school, and he's Becky's boyfriend.
Of course.
As far as I can tell, the most interesting things about him are his complete inability to see Becky's true nature and his brother, Jared Klein. Yes, the Jared Klein. See, I like a guy who looks like he's just about to rob a bank, and Jared Klein looks like he's been on a Bonnie and Clyde bender for 6 months straight. Scruffy, jagged, mean. Where Brad is a puppy dog, Jared is a wolf. A big, bad wolf that your mother told you about, but now you're just gonna have to ignore your mother. He's just out of high school, and he was never the captain of the football team, or the soccer team, or even track. As far as I can tell, he was, and may still be, the captain of the smoking pot and listening to Pink Floyd after school team. Anyway, his name is flying all over the place this morning, because the rumor is he got Stacy Nolan pregnant. I know. It started in first period, just a whisper, and now, just before lunch, it's a crescendo, where it seems like any second the principal is going to announce it over the loudspeaker. Becky's obsessed. She's practically up before the bell and into the hallway, right next to Stacy Nolan's locker. It's annoying that Shelley and I have to stand here and wait while Becky does whatever dumb thing she's up to, but it's an unwritten rule. We must comply or die. I swear to God, Stacy sees her and tries to duck away, but it ain't happening. Becky waltzes right up to her, smirking over her books.
Aren't you gonna invite us?
Shelley and I stand back, cringe ready. Stacy shifts from her right foot to her left. Her face has gone so pale that her little nose freckles are standing out way more than usual. She can barely even make eye contact from underneath her thick brown bangs because she knows the blow is coming. God, this is painful.
To what?
And now Becky leans in.
To your baby shower.
I notice there is a bit of a crowd around us, and everyone is laughing at Becky's little quip. Isn't she just hilarious, folks? Poor traumatized Stacy lets out an involuntary eep. She turns and scurries down the hall like a rat that's been kicked in the guts. Becky looks back at us for approval, but I just can't muster up anything other than a huge pit in my stomach for poor pregnant pariah Stacy Nolan. The crowd starts to disperse, and now Becky's just standing there like she's daring us to challenge her. What's the matter with you guys? There's nothing for Shelley and me to do but mutter to ourselves. I think we are actually making up new words to mutter. Some of the Pep Squad girls continue to titter over Becky's little show. We just keep our eyes on our trapper keepers and shuffle off to class. After the last bell, we slink away for our long and cruel walk home. The first three blocks, we don't say anything, but there's no question that the thing we're both not talking about is Becky. Everyone loves her, yet she is pure, unadulterated evil. The weird thing is, it's not like you can point to anything that made her that way. It's not like her dad's a criminal, or her mom's a crack addict, or she was raised in an orphanage or something. That would actually explain her demonic powers. It's just like she was born, she did a few print ads for the Penny's catalog, and abracadabra, Beelzebub. The only possible justification is that, potentially, when she was in the nursery, a dissatisfied ghost of some sort crept into her crib, possessed her baby body, and decided to wreak havoc on the living as revenge for some unanswered injustice. That's really the simplest explanation. Whatever the case, we are slowly becoming her demon underlings. And that is not a job I signed up for. We're about 6 blocks from school, the air thick as jello, before it comes up. I speak first. That was so lame. I know. I mean, seriously. I know. Beat. Do you think it's true? What, that she's pregnant? Yeah. Kinda. Beat. We have to do something. Like what? I don't know, stand up for her or something. No way, we can't. Well, why not? Why not? Are you kidding? Because we've got a good situation here, considering. I mean, you get to be ethnic, sorta, and I get to make out all over the place, and neither one of us has to be tortured about it. Beat. Well, what if we start a new group of friends or something? Are you crazy? Becky would crucify us. Not to mention whoever we could get to be friends with us, which would probably be nobody. There's got to be something we can do. Look, if we cross Becky, forget it. She'll turn on us, and it'll be like vicious. You know it will. It'll be like 2 seconds before I'm a total prostitute, and you're like the N-word.
The N-word?
Yep, the N-word. And she'll, like, add something, like, she'll call you a vampire N-word.
A vampire N-word?
Yeah, a vampire N-word. We walk on. It's getting dark. The sun is thinking it's about to set. We've both got chills now. The trees are getting black and spiky, like they're just about to reach out and strangle us. I have only one thought. Jesus, I do not want to be called a vampire N-word. 6. Our house kind of looks like a Pizza Hut, if you want to know the truth. We used to have the best house ever, this farmhouse on the outskirts of town with a barn and everything, but we got kicked off of it so they could build a Walmart. So now it's suburb city and a house where you might as well just drive up and order breadsticks. Tonight my mom's making pot roast. I get to cut the carrots and leeks and stuff. This is the safest thing for me to do without poisoning everybody. I'm no Betty Crocker. My poor mom has tried with me, but now she knows it's impossible for me to cook without spacing out and burning everything. Plus, who wants to spend all that effort, all those hours and concentration on something that some ogre is just going to wolf down in 2 seconds and burp? The whole thing is just so gross. I can't help but think about Stacy Nolan. What's she doing right now? Is she in bed crying? Did she switch schools yet? Is she really pregnant with Jared Klein's baby? More than anything, I just feel bad. We should have done something. We should have tried to defend her. Honey, is something bothering you? Peel. Cut. Slice. No, not really. Are you sure? My mom is such a little muffin about everything. Most girls pretty much hate their moms right now, Like, you should see Becky. But my mom kind of knows just the right amount of distance. She never squashes me with affection, and she never takes me shopping. And, come to think of it, she never really gives beauty advice, like Shelley's mom. Shelley's mom is big on beauty advice. She'll talk to you so long about Color Me Beautiful, this makeup she wears, it'll make your eyes roll back. But not my mom. She just kind of shuffles us off to school after breakfast. Eggs, pancakes, sometimes French toast. Comes home at 5 and starts with the dinner rotation. But, you know, she checks in, kinda. It's like she cares or something. Okay, maybe there is one thing. Peel, cut, slice. Well, do you want to talk about it? Stacy Nolan is pregnant. Mm-hmm. And everyone knows it. Mm-hmm. And everyone's talking about it. Mm-hmm. And Becky did something kind of like really mean. Mm-hmm. What did she do? Well, she kind of like went up in front of everyone and asked her if we could come to her baby shower. That's not very nice. I know. Peel, cut, slice. You should have seen her face. It was like we punched her. We? Well, Shelley and I were right behind her. Behind Becky? Yeah. And you didn't say anything? Nope. Hmm. Well, how does that make you feel? Horrible. I feel horrible, Mom. Peel, cut, slice. Well, maybe there's something you could do to feel better. Could you call, what was her name? Stacy? No way. Becky would freak. Exhale. My mom is so sick of hearing about Becky. Shelley she likes. She doesn't mind it when Shelley comes over, but she knows Becky is the dark side of the Force. Well, I'm not going to tell you what to do, but I think you should say something to the girl. She's going through a hard time, and maybe you could even... That's it. Excuse me? That's it. You have to tell me to go apologize. If you tell me to, or I'll be grounded, Becky can't say anything because it's your fault. My fault? Yeah. If I'm going to get in trouble if I don't, that can be my excuse. Okay. So say it. Tell me I have to go apologize. Dear daughter, you have to go apologize, or I'll be grounded. Or you'll be grounded. She's putting the rump roast in the oven now. Those funny little grandma mittens with burn stains all over the place covering her hands. The print is mice on a farm. Whose idea was that? Mom, thanks. I'll be home for dinner, I promise. The pot roast goes in and I go out. Out into the evening sky. The sun starting to turn the trees into gold dust. It's about 5 blocks to Stacy Nolan's house. My plan consists of going up and knocking. I wish Shelley could see me. She would totally die. 7. Stacy Nolan's house is bricks painted white, with black shutters and a red door. It's a nicer place than our pizza house, that's for sure. Her dad's an eye doctor or something. Normally I would be jealous, but not now. I should probably think of a better plan than this, but lo and behold, I'm here on the steps, and before I can stop myself, my hand goes up to the gleaming brass knocker and... Knock, knock, knock. The door opens quicker than I thought. Like maybe they saw me coming up the step or something. It's her mom. I can tell when she opens the door, she knows something's wrong with her daughter. Maybe not what, but something. She's hesitant, protective. Mama Bear. Yes? Hi, I go to school with Stacy, and I wanted to talk to her. You do? Yeah, I wanted to... apologize, kinda. I see. She disappears, and then Stacy peeks out from the end of the hall. Boy, she does not look happy to see me. It's like I'm the cops or something. Stacy, honey, this girl's here to see you. Now she whispers, to apologize. Stacy looks up, puzzled. She steps to the door, wary, like, is this a trap? Now she's in front of me. Hey, hi.
God, this is painful. Hi. So, I feel really bad about what Becky said today. Both of us do. Shelley and me. Like, really bad. Especially 'cause... Whisper. You know. It's not true, though. What? It's not even true. That's the thing. It's not? No way. Are you sure? Yeah. I don't even know Jared Klein. I mean, he's hot and all, but I don't know him. Like, he doesn't even know who I am, unfortunately. I know, he's hot, right? Yeah. We smile. I bet this is the first time she smiled today. Poor girl. It sucks because all anybody has to do is just say something once, and then everybody just assumes it's true. Like, guilty until proven innocent. Well, so you think someone just started it? Yeah, I do. Well, do you know who? Or, like, is somebody mad at you or something? I don't know. I mean, not that I know about. Huh. Looking at her closer, I can tell she's been crying her eyes off. You know what? I can fix it. Like, I'll start in first period.
You will?
Yeah. I know what to do.
You'll see.
Her face, which was tiny and turned in on itself, now gets big and glowing. Then there's a big smile on it. She's looking up at me like I'm Mother Teresa or something. See you tomorrow, I say. I give her a confident nod, then turn and walk down her steps. Dang, I think as I hit the sidewalk. I sure hope I can figure out what to do. 8. There's a way to do this, and this is how it goes. First, confirm that Becky is out in the morning because of some kind of orthodontist appointment. Then, walk up the school steps. It's a crisp morning, where summer is giving up to fall. Gaze at the foliage contentedly until Jenny Schnittgrund comes up panting.
Did you hear?
Hear what? Jenny Schnittgrund has been trying real hard for the past 2 years to move up a couple of notches in the social hierarchy. Little does she know, it's never gonna happen, because Becky smells her blood and desperation, and that right there is the reason she's doomed. Despite the new clothes, trips to the mall, and season pass to Tans R Us, Jenny Schnittgrund will never be anything other than a minion at best.
Stacy Nolan is pregnant.
You stop. You consider. Wow. Jenny really is the color of an Oompa Loompa.
And Jared Klein is the dad.
Here goes, folks. Let's hope this works. You didn't hear? That's this other Stacy girl from out in Palmyra. And this is the part where I lean in, confidential. And it's not even Jared Klein's. I know, 'cause I know the guy. He's a total dog. Jenny Schnittgrund leans back. It's like I told her aliens are landing after sixth period. Her feet are 5 minutes behind her brain, which is already racing to tell everyone and anyone the news. A scoop. She looks at me, nods her head, grateful for the confidence. I can tell that maybe she even thinks she's popular now. We swoop into the school, and the rumor is coming along beside us. Jenny and I part ways, and I get to go straight, in a line, to my locker. But the rumor goes this way and that way, from Jenny's mouth, to that girl's ear, to that group of guys by the bike rack, in through the door, to those two girls at their lockers, past the principal's office, past the teacher's lounge, through the rocker guys, and into the ears of Pep Squad Girl, who heads me off on my way to homeroom. She practically bowls me over, books in hand.
Did you hear?
Hear what?
It's not Stacy Nolan who's pregnant. It's this other Stacy, this girl from out past Palmyra.
She leans in. An expert.
I know, 'cause I know the guy, and he's a real dog.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Total dog.
Wow. My exact words. Verbatim. Now that is what I call success. I nod and duck into my classroom. You should see Stacy Nolan. She's sitting there all by herself. It's weird, 'cause she's perfectly still, but you can practically feel her trembling. God, she's in a panic. Now for the finishing touch. It's here that I'd like to mention that this is the trickiest maneuver of the routine. Like, if I nail this,
the Russian judges will award extra points. If I don't, it could be a complete disaster. I could end up ostracized alongside Stacy for, well, life, maybe. Instead of taking my desk in the front, because I'm kind of a straight-A student thanks to my vampire dad, I sit right smack dab next to Stacy. She looks up like I have just landed from Mars. I whip out a 17 magazine from my backpack and put it in front of us. The way she looks at me, it's like I'm James Bond or something. This October issue is so gay. All it is back to school and Halloween parties. Again. Stacy Nolan takes her cue. Yes, she is supposed to look now. Yes, she is supposed to act engrossed. We pretend to look through the magazine together. Ew, that guy's gross. Beat. How'd you like to kiss that guy? Beat. Yuck, look at this one, what a douche. Beat. Ooh, I like that. Is that Guess? Beat. Cool shoes. I like those leg warmers with them. Stacy is just nodding away by my side, but that's not what's really happening. What's really happening is the room is starting to get crowded. People are starting to trickle in one by one and see us. See me. Third most popular girl in school, together with Stacy Nolan, the one who, just yesterday, was pregnant. But today? Well, today she is flipping through magazines with number 3 over here. They start to swarm. First, it's the Pep Squad girls, then the Hairspray girls, then the Heshers, then the Brainiacs, and now for the coup de grace, Charlie Russell. Yes, if Charlie Russell bites, we are home free. Charlie is the de facto mayor around here. Everyone knows him. Everyone is his friend. He's nice enough, but if you ask someone why he's such a big man on campus, I doubt they could tell you. Maybe it's because he plays tennis, wears rugby shirts, and lives in a ginormous mansion on Sheridan Boulevard. Charlie sits down right beside me. Praise Jesus. Morning, ladies. To what do I owe the pleasure? This dumb mag, look how stupid. If you would have told Stacy Nolan that by first period, before the first bell, she would be surrounded by the Pep Squad girls, the Hairspray girls, the Heshers, the Brainiacs, Charlie Russell, and yours truly, looking through a 17 magazine amongst a chorus of oohs and ahs, she would have sent you to a funny farm. But here she is, Stacy Nolan, the erstwhile pregnant Stacy Nolan, the center of attention again, but now in a good way. Beyond redeemed. Perhaps even more popular.